Begin the current daf, Masechta Sanhedrin daf Pei Hei. We begin on the second line down for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, where the Gemara opened up with the 10th parak, the Mishnah, Elohein Hanachnakin, and the first one was Hamake of Ve'ima. If someone hits his father or his mother and creates a wound, he's liable for death by strangulation. Now, regarding that halacha, the Gemara asked the following question. Boyimim Rav Sheshes. They asked from Rav Sheshes, Ben, regarding his son, Mahu Sheya'asa Shleach, what's halacha if he could become an agent of the court of the Bezdin, La'aviv, regarding his father? Let's say his father is liable through the courts for Nidu, to be excommunicated, which is like being cursed. Or let's say he's liable to get lashes because of a violation that he committed. Is the son able to be the shliach bezin lahakaisu ulekadaloi, to hit him and to curse him? Which both of those are biblical violations. But maybe in the case of when it's a mitzvah to do that to that person, to his father, he's allowed to be the agent of the court. So Amalahem, so Rav Sheshes said to them, what? V'achar mihitiru? What? And another person, whoever the shliach bezin is that person ever permitted to hit or to curse another person, another Jewish person? But any Jewish person is forbidden to hit or to curse his friend, as the Gemara taught in Daf Nun Ches Amud Beis. And even so, he becomes a Shliach Bezdin for that purpose, as the Pasuk tells us in Devarim Chafei Arboam Yakenu, there's a mitzvah for the court to give him lashes. And it also says in Bamidbar, Hey, Yitin Hashem Oischa, that to curse a person, to put him in nidri when it's required. So Elo, Kvod Shemayim Odev, rather you see that although it's forbidden for a person to curse or to hit another person, but the honor of Hashem for heaven to punish this person is greater. Achenami, Kvod Shemayim Odev, says Rav Sheshes here also. Although generally, yes, a son is forbidden to hit or to curse his father, in this situation when he has to put his father into Cheirim or to hit him, with there's a mitzvah for that to be done, a son can also be a Shliach Bezdin for that purpose too. However, Mesavi, they asked in Rav Sheshes from the following Braisa, which is taught in the Mechilta, that says the following enigmatic statement. It says, Umami Shemitsubala Koisi, if regarding this type of a person where he's commanded to hit that person, still mitzvah shalala koisa, it's a mitzvah not to hit him. So Misha ain't a mitzvah koisa, so someone that's not commanded to hit him, ain't a din shemitzvah shalala koisa, isn't it a kavochaima that it's a mitzvah not to hit him? What does this mean? Says the Gemara, my love, isn't it that it's told by the Idi, both the two cases that are being contrasted, the one that says that it is a mitzvah to hit him, and the one that says it's not a mitzvah to hit him, that they're both talking about b'mokim mitzvah. In the situation when there's a mitzvah to hit him, when let's say the person is deserving of 39 lashes. So what's the two cases? Habibnai, haba'achar, but one is told by his son, and one is told by a random person. And this is what the Bryce is saying, and it's coming to teach to warn you regarding someone hitting his father. The way you would read it, according to Gemara's question, is uma'achar, if regarding someone else. Shemitzah lahakoyse, that it's a mitzvah to hit this person that committed a sin that has to get lashes. B'makam mitzvah, in the situation that when there's a mitzvah to do it, like the Torah tells you, yakenu, you have to hit the person 39 times who committed a certain violation. And still says, there's a mitzvah not to hit him more than the 39 lashes, as the Pasuk says in the Ram Chafei, v'lo yosef pen yosef. Even though there's a mitzvah to give this person lashes, you're not allowed to give them the certain amount that you're allowed to give him. So that's what the Brice is saying. So benoi, regarding his son, that there's not a mitzvah to hit him, even b'malki mitzvah, which is the proof that the Gemara is asking Rav Sheshes. Obviously you see that he does not become a shliach bezdin for that purpose. And that's saying the Braisa, ain't a din, isn't it a kavuchaymer, that of course he's forewarned not to hit him in a situation when it's not a mitzvah purpose, which is like when the shliach bezdin, who's doing more than 39, the shalai b'mokam mitzvah. So therefore, you ask the Gemara of Sheshes, you see, seemingly that's how you interpret the Braisa. If someone that's a mitzvah hits this person cannot hit him when it's not b'mokam mitzvah, so the son who cannot hit him even b'mokam mitzvah, which is the point we're proving against Rav Sheshes, for sure he can't hit him shalai b'mokam mitzvah. And what the Braisa is coming to say is that's where we know the warning of someone hitting his father. So that says the Gemara, lo, no. Actually, Edi, both those cases that's saying that it's a mitzvah to hit him, and the other one says that when it's not a mitzvah to hit him, loishna b'nai v'loishna acher, it's no different between the son or a random person, that both of them are permitted, like Rav Sheshes wanted to say, to be a shliach bezin to hit this person. But like Kasha, it's not a difficulty. How do we interpret them? What's the Braisa contrasting? Not between a son and another. Rather, kam b'mokam mitzvah, one is talking in a mitzvah situation, and kan shalei b'mokam mitzvah, one is talking in a non-mitzvah situation. And this is how you're supposed to read the Braisa. Uma b'mokam mitzvah, if in the mitzvah situation, which is when someone has the obligation that the court should mete out to him 39 lashes. Shemitzah la'koisa, it's a mitzvah to hit him, whether a son or another person. Meaning a son could be shliach bezin, like the Rav Sheshes said. And still, mitzvah shalala koisa, still there's a mitzvah not to hit him, meaning more than the 39 that's allotted. So that's what the Bryce is saying, in a totally non-mitzvah situation, when this guy didn't do any violation to get 39. Where then there's no mitzvah to hit him, then isn't it a kavo chayma that of course you commanded not to hit him? Where from here you would learn that a warning that one should not hit his father or another person, that's what you learn out from here, but not that you would see anything, not like Rav Sheshes is, that a son cannot be shlich bezin. It's talking about the kavo chayma to a non-mitzvah situation totally, where it's saying kavochem, of course you can't just hit another person, which is a violation. So the Masechta Toshim, the Gemara continues trying to bring a raya regarding this halacha of Rav Sheshes, that a son could be a shlich bezin to hit his father and to curse him. The Braisa says, hayotzi laharig, if someone's going out to be executed, ubo benoy v'hiko bekiloy, and then the son comes out and he slaps his father, he curses him, says the Braisa chayiv, he's still liable for those of biblical violations of hitting or cursing your father. However, if a random person comes and hits him or curses him, which we said generally that's forbidden even for a random person, he's going to be exempt. Now, the assumption of the Gemara at this point is that he's exempt from getting lashes, which is what a person gets if he hits someone else who is not supposed to be hit. Now, on that says the Gemara of Avinba, we had asked regarding this Braisa, Maishna Benoi u Maishna Acha, what is the difference between the son or another person? They're both forbidden to hit or curse a random person, either a son to a father or a random person to another person. So why is the son Chayiv and the random person Potter? V'am Rav Chizr, Rav Chizr had explained, B'memesarvim by Lotzis ve'ena Yetzah. The case that we're talking about here where the father is being taken out to be executed is where he refuses to go out, and he's not going. And then someone comes and slaps him and hits him. Go out, you have to be killed. And that's the Bryce is teaching, that the son is going to be chayiv. Why? Because he cannot be a shlich bezin to force his father to go out. And if he does injure him in the process, he creates a wound, he's going to be chayiv. Contrast, someone else is doing it, hitting him in the context of as a shlich bezin to get him out. So that's difficult. According to Rav Sheshes, who said that the son could be a shlich bezin. So why is the son chayiv? Says the Gemara, Rav Sheshes Muki Lo B'She'im Mesarvim by Lotzis. Not difficult in Rav Sheshes. That was how Rav Chizda had qualified the Braisa. Rav Sheshes explains Aloha when they're not forced, they're not trying to force him to go out. It's not in the context of Shlich Bezin. It's just if they hit him because they wanted to. So the Gemara asked, but Ihach, if that's the case, so we understand why you'd say that the son would be Chayiv. Because although you want to say that Rav Sheshes the Shlich Bezin is Potter, but it's not Shlich Bezin, they just randomly hit him, so then Acher Nami, then a random person also should be Chayiv. He can't just go ahead and hit a person if it's not in the context of Shlich Bezin. So it's Gemara, no, Acher, regarding a random person, if he slaps or curses this person, Gavra Ketelehu, he was hitting a dead man, because he may execute it anyway. So there's no liability for hitting a dead man. Well, that is the Gemara, is that so? But Vam Rav Sheshe says that Baisha Yoshan B'mez, if someone embarrasses a sleeping person, and he passes away, meaning never knowing about his embarrassment, because in his sleep he passed away, still chayiv. The one who embarrassed him is liable for one of the five types of damages, which is that of busha, because his sons are embarrassed. What was done to their father, although he wasn't aware because he was sleeping. So in this situation too, it shouldn't be any different. This guy who slapped this guy, although he's a dead man and like sleeping like he's unaware, but there's still busha, and the sons, the Yerushim should inherit that money. That payment should be chayiv for the one who hit him. Why is he totally potter? Says the Gemara, hach my skin. What we're talking about over here is b'shi ko hakar she'im hashav aputa, because he hit him, but the hit was evaluated at worth less than the lowest denomination of currency, and so it's not worth a hashav aputa. So he can't pay for the amount of busha. Therefore, he's totally exempt. And that is the Gemara. But v'amir abami amir b'yechanon, he ko hakar she'im hashav aputa loike. If someone hits someone, even a hit that's not even worth the embarrassment of less than the Shavaputa, but still he's going to get lashes for what he did to the other person. So why are you saying if Achar hits this person who's going out to be executed as Pater, even if it's less than the Shavaputa, so monetarily he's exempt, but he should get lashes? Oh, says the Gemara, my Pater to come. Yeah, what does the Braisa mean when it says that the Achar who hits this person is going to be exempt? It means Pater Mimaman. You're right, he's going to be Chayiv Amalkas, but he's saying that he's exempt from the monetary obligation of Busha. That is the Gemara, well, Mechlal, but then the inference is that regarding when it says that there's a liability, Dibinoi, when it says regarding the son, that there's going to be a liability, so Chayiv B'mamen, so are you saying that he is going to be liable for a monetary obligation? But you just explained this, talking about a case when it's not a Shavaputa. The embarrassment of this father who's getting hit does not have the ability to be repaid monetarily. It's worth less than the Shava Pruta. And you're saying it's regarding that to the Acher is Potter, that must mean the son is Chayav. How's that possible? Ella, rather, obviously you have to say, when it says that the son is going to be liable, what do you mean liable? Not monetarily, because less than Shava Pruta. So you have to say it would mean Bedinai. Regarding his law, what's the law of a son who hits a father? It means to say that he's going to get the death penalty of Chanuk. So if that's the case, then Hachanami here also regarding the Acher, that when you're saying that he's going to be Potter, it must mean Bedina in his judgment, and it must be saying not just on money, but even for his judgment, which is what's the judgment that a random person hits another person, it's Malkus. And therefore it's saying that the Acher is going to be Potter, but what's the difference? We just established before from Bi'echanon that if he hits someone, even less than the Shavuot, he gets Loikus, so why is he Potter? Ella rather explains the Gemara, Acher hain the time of the potter, rather, to explain the raisa, the reason why this other person who hits this person is about to be executed is his potter, because the Amakar, the pasuk says in Shemais, v'nasi ba'am chaloitar, that the prince amongst your people, you're not allowed to curse. Which the drasha is, and this is the prohibition of cursing another person, it says amcha, which is ba'isa ma'isa amcha, it's only in your people, someone that does the actions of your people. Contrast, this person who did a sin which he's liable for the death penalty and he's on his way to be executed, he's not ba'isa ma'isa amcha, he doesn't do the actions of your people. Obviously he's a sinner, and therefore there's no problem about cursing such a person, so therefore when he curses him on the way to be executed, he's potter. Ask the Gemara, HaTenach Klala. Okay, that works well for one of the two activities we said that he would do to this person, which one of them is Klala. He's going to be exempt because it says over there, Ba'amcha. But HaKom and Nala, how do we know that if he's going to hit him, he's going to be exempt? There it doesn't say Ba'amcha over there. So the Gemara, D'makshin HaKol HaKlal. That's okay because we compare the hitting to cursing. In other words, through what's known as a Mamatzin. Because why should we differentiate? Just like we find regarding cursing, it has to be Oysa Maisa Amcha, so hitting shouldn't be any different. Or it's actually through a Hekesh, because Maki Aviv and Mekal Aviv are written near each other in Parashat Mishpatim, just has one pasuk between them, but they're very close. And therefore, we see that there's a comparison between hitting and cursing. And therefore, regarding hitting another person would be the same as cursing another person. Where there, by cursing, has to be Oysa Maisa Amcha, so too, by regarding hitting, and therefore, since he's not Oysa Maisa Amcha, therefore he's exempt on both. So ask the Gemara, Yehachi B'nai Nami. Well, then the same thing should be potter regarding the son. Because it actually does not say in Azhara regarding cursing his father. It's only, it says by the prohibition of cursing another person, where the father is included in the halacha because he's also in Amcha from the Jewish people, as the Gemara says in Daf Samach Vav Mar Aleph. So if that's the source of the halacha, so we say that Klal is only Ba'isa Ma'isa Amcha, this person's father is not Ba'isa Ma'isa Amcha. Why is he liable for cursing his father on his way to be executed? So the Gemara, oh, could the Amr of Pinchas. That's how, like Rav Pinchas had said in the name of Rav Masechtas Chagiga at the end of Per Krem Bakaydish, that it's Ptoma B'Sha'asa Tshuva, he explains a certain halacha over there when he did repentance, Hachanam B'Sha'asa Tshuva. No, it is, the father is considered Oysa Ma'isa Amcha, because although he's being executed, but he already did repentance, but he's still going to get executed, but since Oysa Ma'isa Amcha, that's where the son is liable. Ask the Gemara, Yehach HaChanami, then you go back the other way. Then another random person should also be Chayev, because he's already Oysa Ma'isa Amcha, he should be Chayev for having hit or cursed this person. So Amar Rav Mari says no, because another drasha that's learned out from the word ba'amcha, which says by klala, and we compare hakot to klala, is b'mekuyim sheba'amcha. It's someone that's fit to survive, to live, who is someone that's from sustainable of your people, and not this person already has a verdict where he's on his way to be executed. Says the Gemara Yehachib, and that's the case, b'nai nami. So then his son should also be exempt, because it's not amcha, it's not b'mekuyim sheba'amcha, and why is he chayiv for having cursed or hit his father? That says the Gemara, as we continue to Amud Beis, that's midi de havel acha misa. That's the same thing as we have in the halacha of after the father's death, where the Gemara teaches us later on that if someone curses his father after his father died, he's still chayiv. So therefore, even if he's not mekuyim sheba amcha, that's not a reason to exempt the son, as we find that the son's liability of cursing is even after the father's death. Now, although that one of the halachas were being said in the Braisa, even if he hits his father after he dies, that he's going to be chayiv. But the problem is, there's a mission that teaches us, makalacha misa pater. Cursing after death, he's chayiv, but hitting after death, he's exempt. So how could the Braisa over here say that if he hits him or curses him on his way to be executed, he's going to be chayiv? So that says Rashi that the reason why a son is exempt from hitting his father after he dies is because you need to create a wound, a chabura. After someone's dead, there's no chabur because there's no nefesh, there's no blood anymore, which we learned this halacha from nefesh. However, someone that's going out to be executed could still create a wound in his father because he's still alive. It's just that he's going to die. So he's not been mekuyim mishum amcha, but he's alive. And therefore, yes, if he's hiko v'kilaloi, he will be chayiv even though he's going out to be executed. And that's the difference between benoi and achar. An achar doesn't have the halacha after death because it has to be mekuyim mishum amcha. A son, as we learn later on, will be chayiv even l'achamisa. So v'shol mekuyim mishum amcha is not going to be a reason to exempt him. So the Gemara says, so my havala, so what's the conclusion regarding this question that was asked of Rav Sheshes? What is ultimate halacha? We didn't disprove and prove either way. What's the halacha? So Amar Rabba Rav Huna, v'chein tanda b'ri b'shmol, he says, l'kol for everything, ein ha-ben asash lech l'aviv l'koyse l'kalloi, says that no, a son, not like Rav Sheshes, cannot be an agent for the court regarding his father to hit him or to curse him. Chutz mimesis, there's one exception which regarding the one who's trying to push people to entice them to do avodah zarah. Shire Amr Terek, because regarding that person, the Terek says in Devarim, "Lo yisachmo v'lo yitekasa lo, you should not have mercy, you should not cover over that person, do whatever it takes to kill that person," which even means a son to a father. But all other types, we do not have the son being the Shlich Bezin to hit him or to curse him. Mark continues with the next Mishnah, which we just referenced before, which is regarding the continuation of the Nechnakin, which the previous Mishnah spoke about the whole list, and as we had previous Parakim, then each subsequent Mishnah takes one of those halachas and explains its details. So one of the cases of the Nechnakin, that is the death penalty strangulation, is Hamaka of Ve'ima. If someone hits his father and his mother, says the Mishnah, Inechayev at Sheyaseh ben Chabur, as well in the previous daf, the liability is only when he creates a wound, when blood comes out onto the surface. Now, actually, it says the Mishnah, that's actually the stringency that there is regarding cursing a parent more than hitting a parent. As we said before, because regarding cursing, that liability, as Yimo will explain, is even after the parent's death. But if someone hits his parent after they died, then he's exempt because, as we said, you need to create a chabura, a wound, which the first half of the Mishnah said, and that you don't have by a person that's dead. So Gemara explains this halacha. Tarabon, when the Braisa, Pasuk says in Yikra, Aviv v'ime kilel, his father and his mother he has cursed. Which this part of the Pasuk is superfluous, because the first half of the Pasuk already said, seemingly the same idea, it said, Ashir kal es aviv ime, who curses his father and his mother. So why does it repeat, Aviv v'ime kilel, his father and his mother cursed? Says the Braisa is coming to teach, la'achar misa. As we said, this is the source for the halacha of the Mishnah, that regarding cursing, it's going to be even after the parent died, because what else is saying that he cursed them, saying even when they're after they had expired. Now, says the Braisa, because Sheyachal, because you would have thought that actually that one would not be liable l'achar misa for cursing. Why? Hail v'chayv b'maka v'chayv b'makal. There's two categories that the Torah talks about regarding something derogatory to the parent, one hitting and one cursing. Now, ma'maka, just like we find by hitting a parent. In a chayiv el mechayim, the liability is only when they're alive. As we said, there has to be chabura. Afa makali in the chayiv el mechayim, so I would make a mamatzin and say so. Through cursing would also only be applicable when they're still alive. Now, v'oy, but more than that is actually kal v'chaymer. I would say by logic for sure would be that way, because a mamaka, if regarding hitting a parent, she'asa boy, where the Torah makes shaloi ba'amcha ki ba'amcha, it makes someone that doesn't do and act like a full-fledged Jew a shemit Torah mitzvahs. Has the same halacha, like someone that does do the actions of your people, because regarding hitting, it doesn't say amcha, which that's the word that excludes someone that's not oisamaisa amcha. Because as Rashi points out, as we'll explain later on, the Tana, this Braisa holds that we do not compare hitting a parent to cursing a parent, because there is a pasuk in between, so they're not being compared through smichas by being right near each other. And so if we find regarding hitting, where it's going to be, even if there's a liability, even if the person is not oisem ma'isa amcha, and still lechayv b'lachamis, and still the liability for the parent, it does not go and extend after they passed away, because as we said, it has to have a chabura. So makal regarding cursing, shlei asa boi shlei ba'amcha g'ba'amcha, where the Torah did not say that if he does not act like a Jew, that then you treat him like a Jew, because as we said, there it says, v'nasi ba'amcha le'tar, which is the source of cursing anyone, including a parent, it has to be only if it's oisem ma'isa amcha. So it's limited, it's less global as Hakka. So in addition, Chai B'Lach Misa isn't a Kavochemet that for sure would not apply after death, because even Hakka, which is more universal, does not apply Lach Misa for sure Mikal. Tamalema says, the Bryce, that's what the Pasuk is teaching from the extra words of V'imakil, his father and his mother he cursed, which is teaching us that it's liable even Lach Misa, even after the death. Now, as the Gemara and this Bryce says, the source for the halacha of our Mishnah, Hanich l'Rabbi Yonasan, that works well, that these words are extra according to Rabbi Yonasan. The Miat Lekra of the Imay, that he says that these words of Imekil are extra. El Rabbi Yeshia, my Eklamim, according to Rabbi Yeshia, we're going to quote what, according to him, is going to be the source for this halacha, because the Tanya Lina Bryce, the Pasuk teaches him a Yikra. It says, Ish Ish, a man, a man. Now, matam lemi ish ish. What is the redundancy teaching us regarding when it's going to talk about the halacha of cursing a parent that it says the word ish twice? Says the Braisa, l'rabbi is bas tumtum madregin. It's coming to include not just a man, rather even a daughter or a tumtum or someone that it's not clear the gender or andreginus who has both genders, that they also, not just a man, not just a male, they'll also have this liability of cursing their parent. The pasuk continues, a man, ashi kales avives ima, that curses his father and his mother. Says the Brisam, Ainli Ella of Vimai. I would only know that if he curses both of them, the father and the mother, Aviv Shleimai, if he curses only his father, not his mother, or Imai Shleav, only his mother, not his father, Minayin, how do you know that even there there's liability? Time of limit, that's what the Pasuk continues and says, Aviv Vimai Kilo, his father and his mother he cursed. What does that teach us? Aviv Kilo, Imai Kilo, his father he cursed, or his mother he cursed. Because the beginning of the Pasuk has the word klala near the word father. The end of the Pasuk has the word klala near the word mother, to teach you that each one independently would be a liability for cursing, whether only the father or only the mother. That's the Rabbi Yeshua. That's the words of Rabbi Yeshua, which obvious from what he just said, that the words imiv of kil are not superfluous. It's actually coming to teach us that there's liability for each one individually. Now, Rabbi Yonasan Omer, he disagrees. He says, no, mash mishneim ke'echad, even from the first half of the Pasuk, the words when it talks about Ashikalas of ve'imoy, I would know from there whether if you curse them both together as one, or it also would connote even cursing each one individually. Because until the Torah specifies that it has to be together, like for example, like the halacha of plowing with an ox and a donkey together, which is forbidden. The Torah tells you, it says the word together. From the fact that the Torah tells you, Yachtav is obviously that if it wouldn't say the word Yachtav, it would have been understood that you cannot plow even an ox separately or a donkey separately. So here when it says of the imai, we expound the drasha. What it means to say is, or the father or the mother, because it would only mean both together if it said Yachtav. So therefore what comes out, according to Rabbi Yonasan, that the end of the pasuk of imai of kilil is superfluous. Which, yeah, according to him, it makes sense that would be teaching the halacha that is a liability of klali, even lachamisa. But the question is, menole, but we, according to Rabbi Yeshia, are you going to have this source? Because according to him, you need the end of the pasuk, not as extra to teach lachamisa, but to teach as a liability, even cursing each one individually. So the Gemara, according to him, nafkale, you would have to learn out from a different pasuk in Parashat Mishpatim, where that seems to be superfluous, because already our pasuk taught about this halacha, me'umakal of ve'imim, where it says, if someone curses his father and his mother, he shall surely die. What's that for? He already talked about klala somewhere else. Must be teaching us that it's going to apply even la'achar misa. But ve'idach, but Rabbi Yonasan, who already learned that the halacha la'achar misa from the extra words of ve'imakilil, he needs that extra pasuk over there in Parashat Mishpatim. The rabbis, that comes to include bas tumtum adregnis, a daughter or tumtum adregnis. So ask the Gemara, why? But tebile me ish ish. What do you mean? We already said before the extra word ish comes to teach tumtum and adregnis and bas. So the Gemara, no, he holds dibur ter kolosh from the adam, can't darshan anything from the extra word man. Because the Torah talks in the vernacular of human beings, where people say every man, which ish ish, the redundancy comes to say all, that's the way people talk. But it wouldn't necessarily include bas tam to mandragonis, and therefore he needs that other extra pasuk from Mikal of the imam Mesumas to teach it even implies by bas tam to mandragonis. Now the Gemara asks on our Mishnah, which taught that it said, and this is the stringency that applies to cursing over hitting. Ask the Gemara, which that was because Mikal is lachamisa and Hakoz not. Ask the Gemara, but why did it stop there? It could have said that there's a stringency the other way around of hitting over cursing. Why? Because hitting, and we mentioned this idea before from the Braisa, hitting, we said that it doesn't say the word amcha over there for liability, which is if the father is acting like a Jew or not, either way, there's a liability. By Mekal, it says amcha, that has to be only vizayis amaisa amcha. So that's a stringency of hakah over kilul. So why do we say only a stringency of kilul over hakah? It could have said the reverse too. Says the Gemara, no, because Ksava, the Tanna of our Mishnah holds, Makshin and Hakal leklala, that we do compare the hitting to the cursing. And therefore, just like cursing has to be Oisim Ma'aseh Amcha, and we said this idea in Naman Aleph, so to Hakal would have to be Oisim Ma'aseh Amcha, and therefore there's no stringency of hitting over cursing. So says the Gemara, Le Mahani Tanoi. So then let us say that this Machlikis Tanoim, between the Tanna of our Mishnah, who does not say a stringency of hitting over cursing, where hitting would be even if it's not Oisim Ma'aseh Amcha, like Amcha, which, and then the Gemara proved, because obviously he holds that it is the same as Klala. And whereas the Tanna, the Brisa that we mentioned on the top of this Amid, who said that, no, that if by, and it was saying if by hitting, where it's Oisa Maisa, Shlo Yisa Maisa Amcha Ke Amcha, and still it's not Lachar Misa, so it thought to say, you would think to say this, and it would apply to Klala, where there, you do not make Oisa Maisa Amcha Ke Amcha. So obviously the Tanna, the Brisa holds that you do not compare cursing to hitting. That cursing is by Oisa Maisa Amcha, but hitting would be even by not Oisa Maisa Amcha. And in contrast to our Mishnah, says Gemara, let's say this Machlokes Tanoim is Kahani Tanoim, is like the following Machlokes Tanoim. Why? Because the Tanichah that we learned in one Brice that says, Kuti, regarding a Kuti, which there are a certain group that were brought at the time of the Churban Eretz Yisrael, when they took away the Aseret HaShvatim, that then they brought in these people from Kutha, where they brought them in, and they took over those places of the north of Eretz Yisrael. So regarding these Kutim, at the mitzvah al hakaasai, says the Braisa, you're commanded regarding that's forbidden to hit him, but vi at the mitzvah al kalasai, you're not commanded, there's no prohibition regarding cursing him. Now, but Tanidach, another Braisa that says, I at the mitzvah, no, you're not commanded, loya kalasai, not regarding, there's no problem about cursing him, vula al kalasai, not regarding hitting him. So says the Gemara, Sabrua, they who thought to say that this is going to be the same achleik tanoim as our Mishnah and this Braisa we mentioned before, is because the kuleyama, everyone holds, kutim geri emesain, that the Kutim were full-fledged converts, they were truthful converts, meaning when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they became converts. It was only later on that they became wicked, and therefore they would be classified as a Yisrael who's not Oisa Maisa Amcha. So, my lab, Hokumifligi, so isn't it, what are they disagreeing about, is as follows. The Marasa, that one Braisa holds, like our Mishnah, that Makshina Kola Klola, that we do compare hitting to cursing, and therefore, just like regarding cursing him, you're exempt, because he's not Oisa Maisa Amcha, and there it says clearly, B'nosi B'amcha Tar, on this hitting, you're also going to be exempt. Whereas the Marasa, but the other Braisa holds, like the Tana, the Braisa, that we mentioned on the top of this Amid, that Lay Makshina Kola Klola, that we do not compare the two of them. And therefore, although by Klola you're exempt, but regarding hitting the Kuti, you are going to be Chayiv, even if he's not Oisa Maisa Amcha. Says Gemara, Loi, no, it's not necessarily that they're disagreeing in this Machlekes. Because the Kuleam, I could tell you that everyone holds Loi Makshina Kola Klola. I could even tell you everyone holds like the Braisa on the top of this Amid, that we do not compare hitting to cursing. So, what are they disagreeing regarding? Mar Sabar, the Tana of one Braisa held Kutim Geri Emesain. That Tana of the Braisa held that Kutim are full-fledged converts, and therefore, since we don't compare, according to everyone, the hitting to the cursing, so would say that you're going to be Chayiv regarding hitting him, because by hitting, you don't have to be Oisa Maisa Amcha if you're a Jew. But the other Braisa held that Kutim Geri Emesain, that actually the Kutim were never, they never became Jewish, because they only converted because of a certain incident that happened where lions were attacking them. And truth is, they never really converted in a truthful way. They were always considered like non-Jews, and a non-Jew, one is always exempt for their hitting or for their cursing, and that's why you're going to be exempt. But there's no riot to say that they're disagreeing in our machlokes of our Mishnah and our Braisa. And that has to come up, but if that would be the case, that you're saying that the reason why the Tana of the Braisa holds that you're exempt for the cursing and the hitting is because they weren't full-fledged, they were only converts because of the lions, well then, Hainu Diktani Allah, is this that what we learned on this Braisa? In that Braisa that we learned that you're not commanded not for his hitting, not for his cursing. The Braisa teaches, and that B'shoyri Ki Yisrael, his ox is like a Jewish person's ox. Meaning, if our ox gores his ox, or his ox gores our ox, the Allah is going to be like with another fellow Jew, that a Tam is going to pay Chatzin Nezik, and a Mood is going to pay Nezik Shalom. But the problem is, you're saying that the town of this Braisa holds that he's like a non-Jew. Regarding an idol worship, the Mishnah teaches us in Baba Kama that an ox of a Jew that gores the ox of a non-Jew is exempt. And the non-Jew who gores the ox of a Jew, whether Tam or Mood, it pays Nezik Shalom. So how can you say that his ox is going to be like a Jew if you're saying the town of that Braisa holds that he's like a non-Jew? Ella, rather, says the Gemara, Shema Minabe, Kesha Pligi, rather, must be that they are disagreeing regarding the Machlegis of our Mishnah and the Braisa regarding if we do compare. Everyone agrees, Kutim Geri Emesain, and they're like a Yisrael that's Eina Isa Maisa Amcha. But do you compare hitting to cursing? That's where they're disagreeing. Shema Minabe, we hear from there that, yeah, obviously, that same Machlegis that we have in our Mishnah and the Braisa is what they're disagreeing regarding Kutim. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the next category of our first Mishnah of this parak regarding Hanachnok and those that get the death penalty of Chenek. It's a Gain of Nefesh Mi'Yisrael. If someone kidnaps, steals a life of a person, says the Mishnah, Ein Chayiv Ad Sheyichnesenu L'Rishusay. So the kidnapper is not liable until he brings him into his own private property. As the Pasuk says in Shemos Chabez, when it says Venimta Biyadi, that you found the person that he kidnapped in his hand, where the Braisa teaches in the Mechilta, when it says Venimta, that you found him, when it says finding, it always means that there has to be witnesses. And moreover, when it says you find him biyadi in his hand, the word biyadi doesn't mean literally his hand, it means in his property, as the Pasuk says in Memin B'Chavalov, V'yikachas kol artza miyadi, took all his land from his hand. It obviously doesn't mean his hand, it means from his property, from his domain. So the liability of kidnapping is only when you find him and that he had already brought him into his private property. Moreover, Behudai, he says, it's Ad Sheikh Nesenel Rishusai, not only that he has to bring him into his private property, but V'yishtamesh B'yosei has to use him and utilize him, then what is when he's guilty for kidnapping to get the death penalty of Chenek. And like the Pasuk says in Devarim, this Amar boy, that he uses him, and moreover, Umachari, he sells him. That's when there's going to be a liability of kidnapping. Now, continues the Mishnah, HaGoyinim is Benoy. If someone kidnaps his own son, so Bishmol Benoy Shabichim Rekim Mechayiv says that the person's liable, because he kidnapped a Jew, whether it be his son or not, but Chacham Paitim Chacham say no, he's going to be exempt. If someone steals someone that's a half slave, half free person, where let's say he was owned by two owners, and one of them freed him, the other one didn't, so he's a half slave, half free person. Rabbi Yehuda says one is liable. And the Chum say no, he's exempt from the death penalty of Chenek for having kidnapped this Chatzi Eved Chatzi Bechayim. Now, regarding the Machlekes in our Mishnah, the first Machlekes, where between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda says it's not enough just to bring him into the property, you also have to use him. Ask the Gemara, but Tanakama loy boye imer, and the Tanakama does not need that you have used the person that he kidnapped. But the Pasuk says explicitly, like Rabbi Yehuda brought v'samer boy, which amer imer means to say shimush, utilization. So Amar Bacha Barid Rav, he says imer pachas mishave pruta ikabinai. The difference between them is if he uses him a utility that's worth less than a shava pruta, than the lowest denomination of currency. Where Rabbi Yehuda holds you have to use him at least a shava pruta. That's considered shimush. Actually, Tanakama holds the liability is even less than a shava pruta. Now, Bayer B'Yemi, so regarding this halacha that, everyone agrees you need Imur, question is how much? So B'Yemi had the following question. G'navay u'macharay yashan mahu. Someone steals someone, and he sells him, which is the criterion for being liable for the death penalty for kidnapping, but he did this all while the victim was sleeping. What's the halacha? The Gemara is going to shortly explain what the question is. Another case. Machar ishalu uber mahu. What's if someone kidnapped a pregnant woman and sold her, not for her, but for the fetus, where someone wants a child, so he kidnapped a pregnant woman and to sell the child to another person, where he's not selling the woman herself, just it's the embryo that they're selling. Mao, what's Allah over there? What's the question? The Gemara explains, Yesh derech imur bekach, is that a way of utilization? Or ain't derech imur bekach, or is that not a way of imur and therefore not meeting the criterion for being liable for kidnapping? So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? What do you mean if that's the way of Imur? But typically, the Lekki Imur Klau. What do you mean? Those two cases, there was no utility at all. One guy is sleeping, so he definitely didn't use him. He didn't do anything for you. And the fetus, for sure, didn't do anything. So what's the question? It says the Gemara, Lo Yitzricha, no, it's necessary that there was Imur. Yashan, when the person was sleeping, is Dezagala, which is where the kidnapper actually laid down on that person who he kidnapped. So he did utilize that person. Isha, regarding a woman, de'ukmi ba'apizika, where he put her in front of the wind. Now, the wider that she is, the more helpful she is to protect him from the elements, from the wind. So those are cases of having used the sleeping person and the fetus. But the question is, derech imur bekach, is that the way of utilization? What, to sleep on someone or to have the fetus protect and block out the wind? Ayin derech imur bekach, was that's not considered shimush that would qualify for the halacha? My, what's the halacha? And that's the Gemara take that it stands. It's not clear if that would be included in the liability or not. Tana Rabban went in the Braisa continuing on this halacha, says the pasuk in Devarim, ki yimatze ish goynev nefesh me'acham. If it's found a person that kidnapped someone from his brothers. So says the Braisa, ein le'ele isha ganav. From this pasuk, I would only know if the kidnapper is a man. Because it says, ki yimatze ish goynev, a man who stole. Isha minayin, how do we know that there's liability even if the kidnapper is a woman? Tama lema, that's what the pasuk says in Shemais, v'ganav ish, that if the victim is a man, meaning if someone steals, if someone kidnaps a man, where it doesn't say but it doesn't talk about kidnapping a woman. Now, the first pasuk, however, was not particular regarding the victim to be a man, because there it said nefesh. So what comes out, says the braisa from these two psukim, is ainli ella, I would only know from these two psukim the following halachas. Ish shaganav ben isha u ben ish, regarding a man, if he's the perpetrator, if he's the kidnapper, so we know he's liable whether if the victim is a man or a woman. Where, because if the kidnapper is a man, it says goynev nefesh. It says in that pasuk when it says if ki matzi ish, if you can find a man goynev nefesh, now nefesh includes any life, whether it's a male or a female. And also we would know v'isha shagan v'ish, regarding if a woman kidnaps a man, because it says v'goynev ish, it doesn't say who the perpetrator is over there, but it says that the victim is a man. So since we're going to include even a woman, so we know a woman kidnapping a man. But isha shagun ve'isha minayim. But where do we know if a woman kidnaps another woman that there's going to be a liability? It says the Braisa Tamalem, the pasuk teaches in Devarim where it says remes haganavahu, that kidnapper is going to be liable for the death penalty of chenek, which teaches us mikal makom in all situations, meaning even a woman kidnapping another woman. Now, moreover, Rashi brings that the word vahahu, that word hahu ganavahu, is taught in Sifri to Darshan to exclude a halacha that we'll teach shortly, that if one steals an Eved, that one is going to be exempt. Tani Dik, we'll learn another Braisa. It says in the Pasuk, Yimatze Ish Goynev Nefesh Me'achav, if it's found a man who kidnapped a person from his brothers, Echad HaGoynev HaZeish V'Echad HaGoynev HaZeisha. We know the liability is whether if he kidnaps a man or kidnaps a woman, V'Echad Ger V'Echad Evin Meshuchar V'Katan, whether if it's a convert that he kidnapped or a freed slave or a minor, Chayev, the kidnapper is going to be liable. But let's say he steals him, he kidnaps him, but he doesn't sell him, which we quoted in the pasuk before, it says or he sells him, but however, although he quote kidnapped the person, but the person actually, the victim is still in their own property. I mean, they tied him up, he gagged him, but he's still in their house. The kidnapper did not bring him into his own private property yet, but he has the person gagged and already sold him to someone else, still potter. He's going to be exempt because ultimately he never was going of him. He never really kidnapped him because although he's tied up and he's already selling him to someone else on the black market, but the person was never kidnapped because he's still in his own property. Moreover, continues the Braisa, Machri La'aviv. If let's say the kidnapper sells the victim to the person's own father, where the person might be, let's say, with his mother somewhere else, and he kidnaps him and sells him to his father, or to his brothers, or to one of his relatives, says the Braisa Chayv, he's going to still be liable for kidnapping. Now, HaGoyim HaZavadim Pata, as we mentioned before, which the Sefri learns out from the word Hahu over there, if someone steals, kidnaps a slave, he's exempt. Now, we continue on top of Peivav Men Aleph, where the Gemara tells that Tani Tana, that there was a teacher of Braises that taught this Braisa that we mentioned, that if someone sells the victim to his own father, he's going to be chayiv, he's going to be liable for kidnapping. Kamei Rav Sheshes, he taught that price in front of Rav Sheshes. So Amalei Rav Sheshes said to him, Ani Shaina, however, I learn that Rav Shimon says, where the pasuk in Devarim that we were quoting, where it says, if you find the kidnapper who stole a nefesh mi'echav from his brothers, which that teaches, actually, it's the enemishus echav, to the contrary. The liability of kidnapping is only when you're taking him away from his brothers. You're going to say when you're selling him to his brothers that you're mechayev? To the contrary, it's only when you take him away from his brothers. So rather, says Rav Sheshes, tenei potter. Regarding that halacha, don't teach that the Braisa was teaching that you're chayev. Teach that you're actually exempt when you're kidnapping and selling to the relatives themselves. So that thing asked, but my question, what was bothering Rav Sheshes that he had to amend the Braisa? Why? What's the difficulty? Dil maha Rav Shimon. Rav Sheshes, yeah, he had a Braisa that taught that you're going to be potter, but that was because it's going like Rav Shimon, HaRabbanan, but maybe the Braisa that we quoted before, which was taught to him, was actually those who dispute Rav Shimon, who are the Rabbanan, because obviously it seems to be a Machlekes, because that Braisa that Rav Sheshes was quoting was Rav Shimon. Obviously it's not universal. So why does he have to amend the Braisa? Why didn't he say that's those who disagree with Rav Shimon? He can't entertain to say that. Because the Amr Birchen Birchen had said, it's Stamas Nitin Remeir. When we have an unspecified anonymous Mishnah, that means it's Remeir. Stam Tosefta, Rav Nechemya, when you have an unspecified Tosefta, a Braisa, that's Rav Nechemya. Stam Sifra, an unspecified Sifra, which is the Midrashim on Teretz Koinim and Sefer V'Yikra, that's Rav Yehuda. Stam Sifri, an unspecified Sifri, which is the Midrashim on Halachic Midrashim on Sefer, on Mishneh Torah, on Sefer Devarim, that is Rib Shimon. And this unspecified Braisa of Kiyamatzei Ish is in Mishneh Torah. So it's obviously Rib Shimon, and Rib Shimon, he quoted, clearly says that you can be Pater, therefore he told the Tana, that the one who is teaching the Braises, then you can't say it's Chayiv, but rather Pater, and concludes that teaching Rabbi Yechanan, Vekula, Libet Rabbi Kiva, and actually all of these Tanoim that were being mentioned, that Reb Meir and Reb Nechemya and Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, all these that they're the Stam, the unspecified authors of all these teachings when we talk about Mishnayos and Braises and so on, they're actually all going according to Reb Akiva. What they learned from Reb Akiva, that's what they're saying over. They're all the students from Reb Akiva, and so therefore it comes out that all of Teresh HaBapeh is essentially, when it's unspecified, is coming from Reb Akiva. But that's, however, what the Gemara is answering Reb Sheshet, why he said you have to amend it. If one kidnaps and sells to the relatives, he's not chayav. To the contrary, that must be like Reb Shimon, because it's unspecified in Sifri, which is Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon says clearly it's only when you steal from the brothers and not when you sell to the brothers.